morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. I'm Bill Sturgeon. Be with you for about 58 minutes. Hey, today I got a great guest, a person I've known for a long time, I have a great deal of respect for. His name is Sheriff. That's his first name. His middle name is Thomas, and his last name is Bowler. And he's a good-looking guy. He used to have blonde hair. It's not blonde now. But he is the sheriff of Berkshire County. And before we get started, let me thank you and your whole team, Mr. Keegan and Deputy Keegan and all that. What a great job you've done with Toys for Tots this year. It's amazing.
Oh, it's been incredible. Each year it just keeps growing and growing and growing. And, you know, being able to service about 2,500, if not a little bit more, young kids in Berkshire County, and so that they can have a nice smile on their face when they're doing a Christmas tree and they got Christmas presents. I mean, that's what it's all about. And, you know, the other thing is this wouldn't happen. I mean, it's just it's a whole collaborative effort.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we have guys here or men and women here at the jail, at the sheriff's office that help out and pitch in. They just had the big contest this weekend between proprietors and
we donated.
So, and what really makes this all come to fruition is that we have, fortunately up here, we have our warehouse where we keep all our supplies, and we're able to have the volunteers come up and we can sort the toys by age group and by gender. And, you know, it just works out really, really well. And, you couldn't accomplish it without the team effort that we have and the number of people who get involved.
Yeah.
Because it's such a great cause.
But the boxes I noticed this year, and it's a credit to you and your team. The boxes were everywhere.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And that in the past is, as you know, that's been one of the drawbacks. I mean, I wanted to get that out first and foremost. This is the Christmas season, Hanukkah season. Thanks to you guys for doing that. It was an amazing feat. I know we were up at Proprietors for breakfast and dropped some things off, and what she had was amazing. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. And you know without the assistance of the Marine Corps League for jumping in, helping us out, and I think what really kind of that motivates a lot of people here is the fact that a lot of times when you donate to different organizations or for different charitable events, knowing the fact that the kids here in Berkshire County are, and only kids in Berkshire County, are going to benefit from this.
That's what's
not like. I think when we first did this with the Marine Corps League, Bill, several years ago, if I'm not mistaken, we were bringing everything down to Westover Air Force Base. And, you know, I think once we changed it up a little bit so that it was just the kids from Berkshire County and it stays here, that made a big difference, big, big difference.
All I can tell you is the turnout of people, toys, your efforts, your team's efforts, the restaurants, everybody's, it's going to make a lot of kids real happy this Christmas.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you and I come from a background that we know a lot of kids' Christmas are not always as joyful as ours have been.
Correct. Correct. Yeah, we've been in the homes. You know, when you're dealing with law enforcement or public safety, unfortunately, you've been in the homes during the Christmas season, either on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning, for something that took place, and it's usually bad.
Yeah.
And you don't see a Christmas tree. You know, and it's just the spirit just isn't there, and it's unfortunate. So putting a smile on these kids' face for 2,500 plus kids throughout Berkshire County, there's nothing better.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, Sheriff, it's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Chris has a huge heart, Chris Keegan, and he just, it's we start early. Actually, we're fundraising all year round for it.
Yeah.
So, you know, he gets the fundraisers going and pancake breakfasts and musical events. And it's wonderful. We're happy to do it.
And have him get me that stuff and I'll announce it in the mornings.
Sure. Okay.
And I'll put it on Facebook. The other piece I want to let the public know, there's not a new sheriff in town. Sheriff Bowler's been sheriff, but there's a new DA in town.
Yes.
And these two, along with the chief in Pittsfield and other chiefs, and the SP, MSP, yeah. They're making a difference, in my opinion. They're making a difference in the crime scene in yeah. Berkshire County and Pittsfield.
Yep. Yeah.
And I applaud you and the DA, Shagru. You're making a good team.
Well, you know, it got things got kind of lost there for a few years, and it was kind of going along the lines of the same ideologies or the same agenda that was taking place across the country.
Yeah.
And the unfortunate thing, whether you believe in that or not, is we lost control of the of accountability, and Tim's focus is holding people accountable. And there's nothing that says you can't hold people accountable for their actions
right.
and still treat them with their illnesses or their behavioral issues or their mental health issues. But there has to be an accountability there. You know, we started to see a trend, and I still see it, and many of us in public safety, especially in the corrections, we have told our legislators that we need to slow things down when it comes to different political or different ideologies or different agendas, because we're losing the fact that, and the way we see it is, victims are becoming invisible and the accused are becoming the victims. And you have to sit back and think about that, because that's what's taking place.
And as you know, I spent a great deal of time at one stage of my career running, managing, developing, and with a team,
yep.
and drawing the short straw, as I said to those people that
yep.
threw me under the bus, of implementing it and running it for this first 12 months.
Yeah.
They were violent youthful offenders. But the sheriff just said, I've written about it, I've talked to former people and got disagreed with, but there has to be accountability.
Yep.
And the two things that we built into this program that I haven't seen in any program since.
Right.
And those two things are behavior and performance. Some of them are, and the sheriff will tell you what his police background, sheriff's background, corrections background. Some of these young people are so skilled in manipulation.
Yes.
They know how to play the game and not make any progress.
Correct.
And so we had some wonderful progress. Some of our people, some of the ones that were in that program, most probably will do a many, many years in a penitentiary, and
yeah.
some will never get out. But the ones who did, we had great response from.
Sure.
Yeah. And so that's to put a gold star. You get really mad, don't you think, if I ran out and put a gold star on his forehead? He's a big guy. He could hurt me. I'm old. But a gold star on the DA's forehead.
Yeah.
Because he now has got a team. I interviewed, I think, the world of his first assistant, Marianne.
Yeah.
Tom, it's a collaboration of
sure.
all the agencies. Now, not everybody's pulling and tugging.
Yeah. You know, I hate to say this. The environment that we created
yeah.
over the last 4 or 5 years is we watched with the court system and certain very liberal, I don't want to say whether it's court personnel, judges, probation,
yep.
district attorneys, even people in law enforcement. what you were finding out was guys who were in the streets, I talk about law enforcement,
yeah,
doing their jobs, making arrests for people who commit crimes. That's why laws are on the books, because you have people, unfortunately, in our society, in our communities, that don't abide by the laws.
Right.
So why have laws if you're going to make these arrests and then watch these people walk out the door shortly thereafter and not be held accountable? And we are creating an environment where police officers were sick and tired of seeing it, watching them put their life on the line,
yeah,
do many, many hours of long investigations to see somebody either get a slap on the wrist or walk out the door. Or yeah, watch and see certain charges. If an individual had many charges, watch those charges dwindle down to lesser charges and or even get dismissed. And you were creating an environment where officers were just going in and just working to get a paycheck. That was it.
Yeah.
So we were able to turn that around with Tim's focus. We have good judges. We have good probation. We have good court personnel, and now we have a solid district attorney's office that's going to hold people accountable. We have, I believe what we have up here is a very solid correctional system as well.
And Tom, if I may, just in a solid, solid security-based, but yes, also program intensive.
Correct.
And correct, a lot of places, I'll admit, I've been all over the world. Yeah. A lot of places lock them up and throw away the key.
Yeah.
It's never been the tenor of the Berkshire County Jail and House of Corrections. Never.
We have a philosophy that if people commit crimes, whether that crime is a result of their poverty or their lifestyle, their family situation, their any addictions that they may have or mental health issues that they may have, hold them accountable for their actions. And then allow us to treat the illness or the underlying reason why they're there.
And show them a different way.
Yes. And that's what we do best. So
I agree. I have been all over the world. I have seen a lot of wonderful programs. And in the top three programs in my career, and it's over 50 years now. Thanks for not noticing how old I am, Tom. Number three, number two, perhaps, of all the ones I've seen, it's because when I worked at the jail, they had wonderful programs. They brought Mass Rehab Commission in.
Yep.
With Mark Matthews teaching at night, GED program, before any jail did that.
Right. Yeah.
Johnny Courtney did that.
Yep.
So anyhow, long story short, they're tops. And where I got crosswise with some local people.
Yeah.
Right off the Christmas card list, but I can't believe it. But where I said some people can't, not that they don't want to, they cannot go to detox on the honor system.
Right.
Because as soon as that dog starts barking, they're out the door. If I may, the Berkshire County Sheriff's Office has a wonderful, wonderful detoxification program, medically based.
Yes. Yeah. It's medically based. Not only that, we, once the detox stage is over and they're still with us, they still have their treatment programs. We have the medications assistant treatment program that's ongoing. With methadone, Suboxone, Sublocade, the whole nine yards. We have all that. And, so it's a continuation of services. And we work with agencies like the Breen Center and other agencies, to the Harm Reduction Center, all these agencies, plus our programs that we have at the Second Street program, the Second Chance program.
Yeah.
Look, are we successful with every single one? No. We know that. We know we're not going to be successful with every single one. But we educate and we try to prepare each individual so that when they leave us, they still have access to resources and benefits and a complete help network to assist them and guide them in the right direction while they're back out into the community. Fatherhood programs, family programs, medical assistance, mental health assistance, educational programming, vocational programming, job opportunities, housing opportunities. All this falls on our shoulders and our lap, and we do the best we can to assist these people. Look, I say this every time I'm out in the public. We strive for a stronger, healthier, and safer community.
Yeah.
And the more people we can turn around, they're help creating, they're assisting us with that stronger, healthier, and safer community.
And it's a legacy, don't you think, of your predecessors?
Yeah.
Back to, you know, the guy out of World War II.
Yeah.
He realized some of his fellow GIs and Marines and sailors had alcohol problems.
Sure.
Yeah. You were on long enough to know we'd go about this time of the year, a little before this, we'd be driving, picking up people who would be spending the winter keeping that 200-year-old jail open.
Absolutely.
But I want to take a minute, too, and thank you and Mr. Kyler. You're doing a marvelous job over at the old jail, really and truly. People needed that step. You know, you go into a hospital, you're in intensive care. Then you get out, the step down, right?
Yeah.
Well, we never had to step down. We had to kick out.
Yeah.
Get out. And it's your parole officer or probation officer who never knew all you've been through to get out the door. And I always saw, and I've been in trouble for this, probably hard for you to believe, but I've been in trouble for voicing this, that why do we have this cut the rope? When they leave, they couldn't call us. They couldn't interact with us.
Right.
We brought them to that state.
Yeah. It's the rehabilitation stage. It's just like if you get hurt and you're in the hospital for a period of time and then you have to go to rehab to fix, you know, whether you had a knee operation, hip operation, back operation, whatever the case may be. It's the same. It's along the same lines. It's all rehab. It's getting you back so that you can conduct a lifestyle that you deserve, and you want to be healthy doing that. So, you know, every sheriff across the Commonwealth here, that's our goal is to create a stronger, healthier, and safer community. And there's a lot to it, but you know, we try to be. You know, they talk about jails being so expensive with incarceration the whole nine yards. Well, yes, I agree with that. But at the same time, you're going to spend the same amount of money, but we're trying to be a little bit proactive because we're trying to keep people from reoffending. And you have to have these resources and programs and rehab in place. Look at some guys walk out of here after doing their term and they walk back into their job.
Yeah.
They have full support of their family and friends, and they're able to do this on their own. Unfortunately, we have a number of individuals based on their upbringing, their lifestyle, their family situation I hate to use this term, but you kind of hold their hand, but you guide them through the process. You want them to be successful. And they just don't know how to be successful, so we have to instruct
them. Nail on the head.
Yeah.
You know, they go, let's go into this nature-nurture thing.
Yeah.
Some of the, and I've written a couple of books on this, I'm writing another one right now, and that is this. Some of them, they haven't had a chance. They know one way, and that way is a good way. So they come in, they get a program. There was a study before the sheriff was born that showed that if you move somebody 20 miles from the address where they were arrested, the recidivism rate dropped over 50%.
Yeah.
We see it here in Pittsfield.
Yeah.
If they get out and they go right back to their environment,
because you have to keep in mind, no matter how long they stay incarcerated.
Yeah.
Even though you've given them all the resources and benefits and counseling and therapy and treatment that they have, as soon as they walk out this door, that same negative influence that got them here in the first place is waiting for them, and it's going to slap them right in the face as soon as they get out.
And the good part about now is Mr. Kyler over the step down program. They may have to go back to the neighborhood, but they can escape back to Mr. Kyler.
Sure.
And who does his team and him reinforce all the things that Sheriff Bowler and his team instilled and say, listen, you can't listen to that moron.
Right. Look, and we know we're not perfect. We also know, look, I can tell you right now, I can pick out five individuals that I know in here that when they leave are going to go right back to what they're doing.
Oh, I know.
It's the nature of the beast. But I do also know, and our data kind of proves that we have people who have come through here with some severe mental health issues, some severe addiction issues. And they have overcome that based on the resources that we provided with other social services out in the community. They have overcome those hurdles and are living a very productive lifestyle right now.
And I had the DA on a while back, and what I liked about him, it's not a punishment treatment, it's justice.
Yeah.
Just punishing somebody who's been raised not to know better or poverty. Look at all these things. You know, I grew up during the Johnson era, you know, war on poverty. Well, that war is still going on.
Sure.
And we still see it.
Yeah. But
what bothers me most is that we're losing some people we shouldn't lose.
Yeah.
Because, and I'll say, what do I have to lose? I'm an old fat bald guy as it is. I'm going to get three Christmas cards. That's my brother and sister and wife.
Yeah.
Judges kiddos have to be held accountable.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I worked with them. I moved my office from the admin building to the cell block.
Yeah.
So, I listened to them.
The unfortunate thing you have right now in today's society is, as we see it, crimes, violent crimes, are being committed more often now, more and more by younger kids.
Exactly.
And look, I get the whole diversionary thing about the male brain is not fully developed until they're 24 or 25 years old. And we talk about raising the juvenile limit, age limit, you know, up over 20 to 20, 21 and this and that. Okay, I get all that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's basically coming from special interest groups, professionals, scientists, and legislators, okay? But when you start saying that we need to raise the juvenile system age higher, okay, then let's not be hypocritical. You still allow 18-year-olds to join the military and go off and learn how to kill and fight and protect and defend themselves, correct?
And die.
And die at 18. And you still allow at 18 to go in and vote for your favorite legislator or politician or whatever. So if you're going to start changing one thing, then you need to start changing another. But when you start changing the military, the date or the age limit for the military, that's a whole nother issue and problems in changing it to vote and everything. But you know what I'm saying, though?
Oh, but 100%. So, you can't single out one group.
Correct. Correct. I mean, I get that the mind's not fully developed and you need maturity. But okay, if you're going to say that, then what about the 18-year-olds you send off to the war in the military and defend this country, or the 18-year-olds who allow you to go in and vote for you as a legislator? So
buy beer.
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, it's a crazy world we live in right now. And, you know, we have to do the best we can to create that safer, healthier, and stronger communities.
I would also say, too, about that whole argument, I've been against that, and here's why. In my opinion, oh, by the way, the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. Yeah. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Mayor Tyer, soon-to-be Mayor Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter Marchetti, soon-to-be City Council President, whoever that is.
Right.
And the person riding their bicycle north on the southbound lane on North Street.
There you go.
Tom, with all that we have today, from brain scans to brain waves to tests, why are we still using chronological age to determine sentencing?
Yeah, I don't know.
When I ran a youthful offender program with a little bunch of we would give psychosocial testing.
Yeah.
And I would have 17-year-olds who psychosocially were tested at 30.
Yeah.
Because they raised a family. I had a 20-year-old who psychosocially was 14.
Yeah.
So it costs money to test. You know what else costs money? Doing life on the installment plan.
Sure. Absolutely.
You'll know it as far as I do. Let's take 1 minute. We're going to take a 1 minute break. I'm honored today to have with me the sheriff of Berkshire County, Tom Bowler. A lot of experience. Now, with the efforts of the district attorney, Tim Shagrew, and all the law enforcement agencies have come together in a cohesive crime-fighting way. And our DA, he will take you on, but he will also try to get you the help you need so he never sees you again.
Yep.
Along with you can make the sheriff's Christmas by never coming through the doors of his jail again.
Absolutely. We'll yep.
This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. Also simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon. Here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sandrini.com.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. Today, my guest, and I'm so happy, it's the holiday season. And, you know, the sheriff's going to tell you, I've worked many a Thanksgiving, many a Christmas in a correctional facility. And it's not at all doom and gloom, because the agencies go out of their way to try to make it normal. Sheriff, you just had your Christmas mass.
Yes, we did. You know, we've done things in the past. We know Christmas is that time of year, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and you're incarcerated, you're away from your family. Because you always got to keep in mind, yes, there are individuals, as we've discussed before, that are based on their actions and their behavior and the crimes they've committed, very well. I mean, I have people in here for murder. We have about 11 of them in here for murder. They're never going to see the community daylight again. And so we understand that they're not able to be with their families, and it's a tough time of year. Yeah. We've done things in the past where we've actually had, pre-COVID, we'd have a Santa Claus come in, and we'd have a inmates would sign up for this program, and we would have presents and cookies and cakes and refreshments, and have some presents for the inmates' kids who signed up for it. We had to do those things just to kind of brighten up their day a little bit. We have a Christmas mass. Bishop William Byrne came to our facility yesterday for 1 o'clock. He and Father Chris Malatesta from St. Agnes up in Dalton were with us yesterday giving a Christmas mass, along with, we have Deacon George Morrell, who works for us here. He set the whole thing up with the bishop. We've been doing it for like 5 or 6 years now. And it was a kind of a special treat yesterday, because since the late 90s, I don't know if you remember this couple, they started at Second Street.
Bill
and Mary Mosley.
I just was with Mary last weekend.
So they have devoted and committed and dedicated their lives to allowing the incarcerated population to be able to, even though they can't do much, and I shouldn't say can't do much in here, but because they're kind of restricted,
right,
to still be able to express their faith and enrich themselves with their, with whatever faith they have. And so we make it a priority, and it's a big plus with us. Well, Mary is 98 years old.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Bill passed away a few years back.
Yeah.
But Mary is like our guardian angel up here. She loves coming up. She loves being able to help these individuals who are incarcerated and guiding them through their faith to a better lifestyle. And they love her. We love her. But she's taking a little back seat now. She was coming in once every week, and for several hours, her and a small group. There's, I think, Pam Malumphy's one of them, and Kristen Aceta is another person that comes with them. They have a great program. They're well received here and well loved. And Mary's taking a back seat, but she attended our mass yesterday. We gave her a little farewell at the mass yesterday, and she's always welcome. She's welcome. She's getting tired. I mean, she's 98, and she's devoted her whole life to these individuals. Yeah. And so we had a Christmas mass. So we recognize these things. We have a Christmas dinner here for the inmates as well, just like we did at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So, we understand. Look, not every person, like I said, not every person in this facility is going to spend the rest of their life in jail, because we have some good people in this facility that are unfortunately incarcerated because they made some bad choices.
Exactly.
And it's our job to, those are the people that when sentenced to our facility, that we try to turn around so that they can become productive members in our community.
Bill Mosley was one of the first deacons ordained.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what people didn't know about, I used to have him on the show years ago, because Bill was a survivor of the Battle of the Bulge.
Oh, really?
And never talked about it. And I would have another guy on, Chet Staclosa.
Yeah.
He was a survivor of Pearl Harbor.
Wow.
Yeah. In both those days. Well, they're both gone now. But Bill was very humble about that. He didn't talk about it other than I found out. And Mary Mosley. There isn't enough one person can say about that lady. Years ago, I will go and move on. Years ago, Mary Mosley and I did a skit.
Yeah.
I was doing student teaching at Lanesboro Elementary School for my degree.
Yep.
Mary Mosley and I did a skit at the old Lanesboro School, and we still laugh about it.
Yeah.
I just saw her the other day. What do you find now some of the most challenging things to run a modern, and I want to say modern day, up to date, because that's what you have.
Yep.
My opinion, correctional facility.
Well, one of the biggest things right now that we're seeing, I can tell you this, in all honesty, 95% of the issues that we have, believe it or not, are staff related. I'm not saying we don't have good staff. We have tremendous, we have wonderful staff. We run into things nowadays, what we're seeing, and it's not just us. You're seeing it in the private industry as well.
Yeah.
You're seeing it public safety. You know, 10 years ago, public safety, education, the medical field, those were the most sought after jobs.
Yeah.
Right? You couldn't hire enough people. They're just coming through the door. People loved it, and people wanted to work in those careers. We are seeing now this generational thing. I don't know if it's post-COVID, but it seems to be worsening more now than it did pre-COVID, is to get these people to come to work here and build a career. They're only about what's taking place in their life right now.
Yeah.
They don't care. We talk about benefits. We talk about smart plans or deferred comp plans and retirement. It doesn't interest them. They're just worried about their job right now. And I don't know if it has anything to do with COVID. You could blame it on COVID, but kids don't want overtime. They want time off. They just want the time off. They don't want to spend any more time here than they have to. And so we've created a little bit of a monster, whether it was through COVID or not, but we just trying to find people. We're constantly hiring. And you have to, you know, nobody likes to lower their standards because of the job that we do. But there's some things we've had to lower. You know, there's even in the private sector, even throughout the sheriffs across the Commonwealth, they're trying to introduce incentives for people to come to work here and things of that nature. So it's between that and obviously the mental health crisis that we're dealing with that's going on, ongoing in our society.
Unbelievable.
Which is nationwide, you know, and look at things we've touched upon before that we have to wrap our head around. You're never, ever going to solve the problem, because 38 years I've been in this business and it was still ongoing prior to my arrival. Poverty, crime, addiction, and now more prevalent mental health. Wrap your heads around it, because they're never going away. You are never going to solve the problem to where we don't have poverty anymore, to where we don't have crime anymore, where we don't have drugs anymore, illegal drugs, and where we don't have mental health. These are things that are always going to plague our society.
And the thing is, you have in the DA and the police.
Yep.
You are, and I know people say this is an old cliche, but you truly are the first and last line of defense for the public.
Yeah.
For me, for the old, the young. And what bothers me is, I've dedicated my whole life to this.
Yeah.
Is that we're not getting the press backing. We're not getting, the stories are all slanted. Oh, he didn't mean to kill him. He did it because he was poor.
Yeah.
Well, so was the guy he killed.
Yeah.
And that's a true story I used with one in the youthful offender program.
Yeah.
He said, well, you know, I had nothing growing up. I said, either did the kid you killed. He was in the same neighborhood.
That's right.
So, and the other thing I would add, with all due respect, making excuses for awful behavior. There's no excuse.
No.
You know, I will say this too. I'll share with you. I think I have in the past. I would say over 70% of the violent youthful offenders that I had, if they'd have had Tommy's, the sheriff's mom and dad, or my mom and dad, I wouldn't have seen them.
No. No.
I wouldn't have seen them.
Family values play a great role in how we you know, present ourselves in society and what we do in life. There's no question about it. And that's why we're going to see, we are the individuals we see who have never had any family values or guidance or instruction on how to behave or what to do when times get tough and who to turn to. There are plenty of resources out there. There's no excuse in today's day and age. And there's plenty of work out there. There's no excuse. People can't sit here and say that, you know, I can't find a job. That's baloney. There's jobs everywhere.
I will tell you, I'm sure the job has changed, but I will, if people are out there and you want a career, now if you want a job, probably not your spot. But if you want a career, go to work in corrections, go to work in law enforcement, because their careers, and you really can, and the sheriff will tell you, when we were on the street, we probably helped 10, for every one we arrested, we probably helped 10 not get arrested.
Correct. You know, the one thing I instilled in all four of my children, and by any means, I'm not, I like to think I was a good father, good parent, good husband, and the whole nine yards. And I just learned from my family values what was instilled in me is that I told my kids, I said, look, by the time you're 30 years old, you want to be settled in your career. Because here's a fact of life. You're going to spend the next 30 years preparing for your retirement. If you want to have a nice retirement or a relaxing retirement or a financially beneficial retirement, you have to work for it. That's what people don't understand in this society, younger generation. Look, you have to work for things in life. There's a big difference between a handout and a hand up. Okay? More than happy to give a hand up.
Yeah.
But it works both ways. When you give a hand up to somebody, they also have to give back. And they have to work at it. And these are the things we're missing in society today with our younger generation. They don't care about 30 years down the road because it's not here right now. Exactly. You know? And that's all they care about. So it's difficult. We have to change that mindset. Don't know how we're going to do it, but we have to change that mindset of our younger generation for the future.
I think it's parents. I mean, I really do. I've tried to be like you said. I've tried to be all those things, but I fall short many times.
Yeah.
But it's not because I didn't care or I wasn't trying.
Right.
I've told this story 1,000 times, but the kid come on, I was walking the yard. Kid come up, he said, oh, Mr. Sturgeon, I'm not going to be able to get my points. And that was another thing, just quickly. They came in, they started with zero.
Yeah.
Because they had always gotten stuff.
Yeah.
And deducted. So we said, no, we're going to reverse that.
Yeah.
So, and they earned everything. So their points became golden.
Yeah.
So he come up and he said, Mr. Sturgeon, I'm not going to be able to write this week. I said, well, why? And I thought he couldn't write because believe me, we had so many.
Oh, yeah.
Dad, you hit. Anyway, long story short, I said, I can print. I can't do the curly stuff, cursive.
Yeah, right.
But he said, I said, well, that's the problem. He goes, well, you got a rule that one inmate can't write to another inmate. And I said, yep, that's the rule. He goes, well, my mother and father, older brother, are in the system. There you go. Rest my case.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. 16 years old, and half his family was locked up.
It's a no-win situation. Yeah. So, you know, these are the conflicts that we deal with. But, you know, fortunately for me, my four kids are all settled in their careers now. My two youngest took full advantage of my advice, and it took them till they were 30 years old, but One's got her doctorate and the other one's got her master's in occupational therapy. So, you know, they're set now. They all have a good work ethic. And, it's not really, if you think about it, it's not really that hard. You go to work every day.
Yeah.
You do what you're supposed to do. I mean, the hardest part about going to work every day is showing up.
Yeah.
And once you show up and you give us 100%, and then I encourage you to go home and be with your families and live a good lifestyle. And there are times, obviously, in public safety that you have to give a little bit more because of overtime or mandatory overtime or whatever happens. And unfortunately, depending on where you lie on the scale, as far as seniority, you end up working your holidays. And look at, I spent many nights away from my wife and kids, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve, all these things, because I had a job. But that job was important to me because it supported their lifestyle. And but we're just seeing it's a different generation nowadays.
But I always walked away from the job with many nights and days.
Yeah.
I walked away from the job, and I would say, it's me saying to the Irish mother, would say,
yeah,
here, but for the grace of God, go on.
Yeah.
Because we saw, Tom, saw the worst and the best of mankind.
Yeah.
And the worst would still lingers in what I have left for a brain.
Sure.
You know, and, but I want to give you time to give a, like a little Christmas message. But here's the other, I think is important that right now, I believe I saw in the paper, you do have some openings.
Yes. Fortunately, last month we had an academy going on. We team up with both Franklin County Sheriff's Office and Hampshire County Sheriff's Office.
Yeah.
And we had 7 individuals go to the academy and 7 graduated. So that was a big plus. We just had a physical fitness test, last week where, I think 16, people took the test, 15 passed. We gave out, a written test last night to those 15 individuals and, they passed. So we're gearing up for a March Academy.
Good for you.
And, but you know, we've lost over the years. You got to remember, we opened this jail up in 2001.
Yeah.
And prior to opening up this jail, we had several academies take place.
Yeah.
And those individuals are now over their 20-year mark. And in corrections, you can retire after 20 years with half a pension.
Yeah.
So we're losing a lot of individuals through retirement. So these academies are crucial. And so we're, you know, moving forward. We're getting killed with overtime. You have to have, look at, when you run a facility, even though we're a small facility, we have 200 people incarcerated. Yes, that number has gone up. And that's just here in the house. We still have another 20 or so throughout the state at different, either different programs or different hospitals or different institutions. So for various reasons. So, you know, there's a lot goes on here. We're like a mini town or city. I mean, we have, we have to take care of the grounds here. We have to maintain this facility. I have a full maintenance staff. We have a full medical staff, educational staff. I mean,
canteen, canteen.
Yes.
Commissary.
Yeah. Canteen, commissary. So, you know, we prepare 3 times a day, we prepare meals for 200 individuals, the laundry for 200 individuals. All these things add up. Manpower is crucial.
Yep.
And we're below our staffing quota. And so, you know, we have overtime. And, you know, but on the flip side of that, the pay is good. The benefits are great. It's a state job. You're warm in the wintertime and you're cool in the summertime. And
Unlike North Street.
Unlike North Street. And there's a lot of opportunities here. And so, you know, we encourage people to, you know, get off their butts and go to work and be productive.
And plus that, if you're one of these folks that want to contribute to society,
yeah,
there isn't a better way of contributing to society Absolutely. Than working in a correctional facility or as a law enforcement officer.
Yeah.
Believe me when I tell you, I would see people on the sheriff the same on the midnight shift. They would be out there at one or two or three in the morning and talk to you. Why? Because they were lonely and you were the only one that would listen to them.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know, and yeah. I think I've had a wonderful career. I've been all over the world. Criminal justice.
Yep.
If you're sitting at home and you don't have a job and you're in fairly good shape, I take the physical fitness test, but by the time I finished the run, the sheriff would retire. But seriously, I'm on it. I mean this from my heart. If you need a good job, not an easy job,
yep.
not going to lie to you, but if you want a job where you have a career and you can influence others' lives,
correct.
At least talk to somebody in the sheriff's office.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing more gratifying than knowing, look at, we see people and we see generations of the same yeah. family, right?
Oh, I know.
Generation, it's generational, but there's nothing more gratifying than to run into someone who just spent 18 months in your facility and you've seen them here before in the past, but now you see that they're working, they're going to counseling, they're going to therapy, they have their back reunited back with their families, they're productive members of the community, they're trying to give back. There's nothing more gratifying than seeing that take place. And because you know that you've had a hand in helping that individual become that productive member of the society.
Yeah, the criminal justice field as a whole is not always painted well because the people painting us don't want us to look well.
Right.
But what these folks are, and I hope I did, contribute to their community.
Yes.
Will be forever long lasting. I quick story, and then I'm going to let you put your Christmas greeting. Guy stopped me at a thing. I didn't even recognize a kid.
Yeah.
I didn't recognize him.
Yep.
He said, Mr. Surgeon, I said, yeah. He said, you don't recognize me? I said, I'm sorry, I don't, because I don't remember where I parked the car. So
yeah.
He said, many years ago, when I'm from Lanesboro, and you brought me home because I was misbehaving on the school grounds.
Yep.
I was in a fight. And I said, yeah. I kind of remember. He goes, well, thank you, because I never got in trouble again. My parent, when I walked into that house with you, I looked at my mother and she started to cry, and I never, ever made that mistake again.
Yeah. 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 It hits home. I know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you would be so kind just to share your Christmas thoughts with us and New Year's thoughts.
Yep. Well, I just wish, I hope that, first of all, I'm very grateful for where I am here today. And a lot of that comes from the good people in this community who put me in this position. And I love my job. I come to work every day. And I just want to say thank you to everybody for all that they've done for me in the past. And I truly hope from my family, my own family, and the family up here at the sheriff's office that everybody in Berkshire County can have a happy and healthy holiday season.
And I will dovetail with that one saying thank you, Sheriff, and your whole team.
Yep.
For all that you do for this community, so much of which goes unseen.
Thank you.
There are those of us out there who appreciate every one of you, what you do every day. And to my audience, God bless. Do as the sheriff does every day, something for somebody else.
Yep.
We got to start taking care of each other. Each other is all that we have. Sheriff Bowler, Merry Christmas to you and yours, the whole team.
Merry Christmas, Bill, and thank you for everything. And everybody be safe out there.
Please be safe, and please, please, and he'll do not drink and drive.
No.
Trust me, it's not worth it.
It isn't.
God bless. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
You behave. Tell Diane thank you and Merry Christmas.
All right. Be safe. Bye-bye.
You too.